The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, live at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. We're at the Patriots Outpost live and direct today on the show, up in the next couple of hours, doing our thing here, sports360az.com. azcentralsports.com, as we partnered up now with the Arizona Republic, azcentralsports.com. Appreciate their involvement with us as we partner. And White Mountain Radio on Twitter, at Brad Sesmatt, and on Facebook as well. We're at the Patriots Outpost. I don't think we have video today, so you're just going to have to listen, which is fine. As the week goes on, we can work things out. It's supposed to be 80 degrees today out here. The Patriots Outpost, if you've been in any branch of service, if you're active or you're out of the military now, this is the place for you when you come out to the open, that they take care of you with free food and drink. And you're sitting here on 18th tee, and you take it all in. And it's a tremendous environment. If you can't find me, there's a tank, okay? There's a literal tank that Eric and I sat on the other day when we were out here. Across the way is the beach on 18 that Derek Hall's in charge of. Derek's going to join us in about 10 minutes. And we have to find out if the tank has any live rounds, if there's a gopher out here, if there's anything at all, we have a tank. So it's pretty easy to find. 80 degrees, 500,000 fans. I don't know if Phil Mickelson is going to play or not. That's been the overriding question that I've gotten here since coming out, is will Phil play, will Phil not play? That's going to be our Facebook question here in a couple of minutes with Eric. On the show, as mentioned, Derek Hall in about 10-15 minutes. Bottom of the hour, or actually at 10:45, Clark Judge. Gary McCord is going to be with us today. Always good to catch up with Gary McCord, CBS golf analyst, and I've got other people that are just bumping around. The Pro-Am is going on right now and out on the course. Randy Johnson, Jim McMahon, Emmett Smith, Dr. J, Bruce Arians, Patrick Peterson, Richard Dent. That's pretty strong. Tim Hovick's out there. Man, they let anybody in this thing. So that's going on right now, and we'll have much more on the tournament and guests galore as we do our thing here over the next couple of hours. Our Facebook question of the day to get us off and running, though, let me just say this before we get to Eric, that our coverage here at the Waste Management Phoenix Open is brought to you by Gateway Airport in Mesa. Gateway Airport in Mesa says, Brad, we're all in with you in the Phoenix Open, Waste Management Open. I've been telling you for a year and a half now about how Gateway Airport in Mesa is just plain easy, just off the 202 Santan Freeway in Mesa, off of Power Road, with newly expanded terminal-free Wi-Fi, charging station, shopping, food. It's all there. Visit justplaineasy.com. That's justplaineasy.com. Year-round Gateway Airport. It's just plain easy. Appreciate Gateway Airport. Here's Eric now with a Facebook question of the day. E.
Well, Brad, you mentioned it at the top of the show. Phil Mickelson is, I guess, listed as questionable for this weekend. He is not playing in today's Pro-Am. And there are rumblings that he may not play due to some lingering back problems from late last week. So we ask you, would you be mad at Mickelson if he didn't play and defend his title at the Waste Management Phoenix Open? Head over to facebook.com/sports360az, like our page, and share your input there.
Are you kidding me? You wrote it that... Would you be mad at Phil? Nobody gets mad at Phil. Are you nuts? Are you Eric, would you be mad at Phil, Eric?
Would I be mad at Phil? It would have to it would have to come down to how bad is your back? And that's a question that only Phil can answer. Golfers are not exactly the toughest of people. So,
wow.
And I know how much
there's
Phil. I know how much Phil likes playing this event. So that is today's Facebook question of the day, and this is more of a Phil call. But I would assume quite a few people would be disappointed. I don't know if mad would be the right word, but the weather's going to be nice. They're going to draw a lot of people, regardless of if Phil plays or not. But there is an extra buzz, a buzz greater than any other golfer, when Phil is not only in the Phoenix Open, but when Phil is on a streak at the Phoenix Open like we saw last year.
Okay, I'll go with you on that. All right, that's facebook.com/sports360az. facebook.com/sports360az. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. the Honda Resort and Casino. You're looking for a place to check out the big game this weekend. Why not head on up to Pine Top, stay a couple nights at the Honda Resort and Casino. Beautiful weather up there. Pull down the slots, have some winnings, some great fun, entertainment, eat some great food. Head on up to Sunrise Ski Resort. They're making snow at sunrise, so you can do some skiing up there and then watch the big game. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino this weekend, of course. That's where you want to be, the Honda Resort and Casino. They've been a big part of what we do since day number one, good people at the Honda Resort and Casino. So here, the story is whether Phil Mickelson will stay in the event or withdraw because of back spasms. We should know about that later today. My gut tells me he's going to try to play through it for a round or two. But I could be wrong on that, but that's just what my gut's telling me and hearing from people around out here. The Suns play tonight. They're trying for a 3-0 road trip, and they should get it. If the Suns lose tomorrow to Milwaukee, I'm going to be a grumpy, grumpy man. And there's no reason to be grumpy when you're at 80 degrees on the 18th tee at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. There's no reason for that. But they play Milwaukee, and the Suns just continue to – you look at the Suns, and you look at the Lakers. Because I know there's all these bandwagon Laker fans that only show up when your team's any good, and your team is awful this year. What you're going through this year as Laker fan is what the Suns fans went through last year. Even your star player, Steve Nash, came back and hurt his back in practice. Kobe Bryant said he's got about another 3-4 weeks. There's no reason for Kobe Bryant to even come out and play on the floor. Suns, you know, they're a playoff team right now, seventh seed. Am I disappointed about all the be really bad, get really good, to get one of the top five players? They're not going to go lose 15 in a row, so I'm just enjoying this. I think where they are from a coaching standpoint and bringing some of these young players along, I like where the Suns are. I really do. I'm very pleased with how they're playing. Tonight we have number one Arizona. Eric, has Arizona become... on your calendar now of daily events, like you get up and you have breakfast, you go work out, you do your work, you have some dinner, you do pay bills, whatever. When U of A plays, have they now become part of your routine because they're number one and they're undefeated?
Well, that all depends, Brad. I mean, if the games are on the Pac-12 network, then no, it is not a top my priority list because since I have DirecTV and I'm stubborn and I refuse to leave, I can only follow the games on Twitter or go to a friend's house. And as much as I love watching U of A basketball this year, I'm not going to take the time out of my night to drive to a friend's house to watch them play.
Yeah, but that's pretty good. That's very funny. I like that. Yeah, but tonight's game, I believe tonight's game is an ESPN game. I think Pash is doing tonight's game, if I saw his Twitter feed correctly. So, you know, is it one of those deals that you're going to make sure that you see if it is, in fact, an ESPN game tonight? I know I am. I'm going to find my way around.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
So we'll have some fun with that tonight. Yeah, why not? And ASU plays tonight, and we're hoping that ASU wins, because if ASU wins, then Jahi Carson's coming on with me tomorrow. If ASU loses... It's not Jahi's deal. It's the people around him. They're like, look, if we lose, it's just not pretty. They're playing Cal. Cal has been one of those surprise teams. We'll have that to kick around. Rich Rodriguez is in the Valley today meeting with several high school seniors because National Letter of Intent Day is a week from today. He's also looking at the 2015 class. I've got some thoughts on some of the kids he's looking at for U of A as we move along. Recruiting is a big part of what we do at Sports 360 AZ. You can check out our recruiting roundup. At the Super Bowl, they put all the media stuff behind them. I don't see where there's really any angles from it yesterday. You know, the whole thing with Marshawn Lynch was just filling time. I don't like to fill time. I don't like to have guests on that fill time. Like if Derek Hall, when he comes on, if he's just a filling time guest, that is painful. He's a former radio guy. He would know that's just dreadful when you put somebody on to say, I just want to get to the next commercial so I can do my live endorsement so that I can get a check. And that's what the industry's become. Please say something. And he always does. I'm picking fun at him because he's standing over to my side. Kurt Warner was with me yesterday on the show. What advice would you give the quarterbacks about playing in the wind? Because the wind is now becoming a factor as we get closer to the game. The reports of the wind on Super Bowl Sunday are becoming a big deal. Here's Kurt with me yesterday.
The biggest key is you try to just stay in your game. You try not to let those kinds of things affect you too much. Now, you know, you have to gauge it and you have to understand, okay, when I'm thrown into the wind, I got to keep that nose down and I got to try to fight it through the wind. Probably have to throw it a little bit harder. But I think for the most part, it's so easy to allow weather conditions to get into your mental framework and start to affect you.
That was Kurt Warner with me. Here's more, Kurt. Well, Seattle's inexperienced. They don't have anybody. Not one player on the Seahawks has ever been in a Super Bowl.
I don't think it means a whole lot. I think the biggest thing for me is always the week leading up to the Super Bowl, not just the game itself. It is that being able to handle what is the Super Bowl and the festivities that go with it and the media coverage and, you know, all the focus that's on you, that I think sometimes it's easy to get caught up with all of that stuff.
That was Kurt Warner. Much more on the show, including the Coyotes, a big win last night. Some stuff around Warren Sapp that we'll talk to Clark Judge about. Warren Sapp and Clark Judge. About 4 minutes. We'll take a break. On the other side, Derek Hall will be with us. We'll visit with the Diamondbacks CEO and president, who's a big part out here at the Phoenix Open, the Waste Management Open. Welcome to the Birdies for the Brave Patriots Outpost. Guys, if you're in military, active military, retired from the military, this is the place. Overlooking 18, you get in for free. There's free food, there's free drink, and you get to watch the golf. It's all here at the Patriots Outpost. It's a terrific place to be at. We'll be doing the show here not only today, but tomorrow and Friday as well. Our coverage brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, it's just plain easy. I'm Brad Sussmat.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com on AZ Central Sports. Appreciate the partnership with AZ Central Sports. Came to us about 3 months back, said, we got to get together with you. And now we're together. Appreciate that. On White Mountain Radio, on Twitter, Brad Sussmat, as we are out at the Phoenix Open, Waste Management Open, at the Patriots Outpost today, tomorrow, and Friday, brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport is just plain easy. Derek Hall, Diamondback CEO and president. Good to see you, Beach
good,
Man.
Good to see you, Brad. Yeah, I'm gonna fill time. That's what I'm going to do. Let's fill time.
Yeah, really. And filling time, you've been in that spot.
I've been in that spot. I don't like fillers either. I'm with you. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
Tell me anything.
Right. Don't just sit here
and... you know when an answer is canned, and you know when it's not sincere.
Well, it's like going... I've done Super Bowl Radio Row. Yeah. I'll do it again next year. When I have Joe Montana talking about avocados,
yeah,
and his handler is saying, how many times are you going to mention the avocados? That's not fun.
Right.
Because, okay, we got guacamole. We got it. It's the biggest day of the year. And you're not selling guacamole. You're selling sand
exactly. This
year. Over. This is not filler, by the way.
That is not filler. No, I mean, I'm in charge of Greenskeeper this year, and it's right across the lake here. It has been a record year already. For a Monday and Tuesday, the crowd we've had down there, everybody's so excited about it and what we created, Thunder Beach. And the beach is alive.
Thunder Beach. Now, because I just look at things in a certain sort of way, I have to think when you put the lifeguard towers up.
Yes.
And there's adult beverages.
Yeah.
And there's sand. And it's 80 degrees. That at some point this weekend, somebody may need to be rescued out of the water.
I certainly hope not. Yeah, I mean, having lifeguards, and we're getting lifeguards today, can imply that you're supposed to swim with safety. But no, you can't swim. There's no swimming here. So the lifeguard towers will be used. They will be in full operation today. I don't know that they're lifeguards.
Are they Baywatch lifeguards?
Yep, Baywatch lifeguards.
Serious.
Yes.
We want alligators down in the water with Baywatch lifeguards. Then we'll have a crowd.
We'll have a crowd anyways. And that Thunder Beach is, I'll tell you what, summer break is here.
Thunder Beach. Yeah, really. These kids over at 16 are like, screw that. We're going over to 18 now. That's the place to be.
It's become, I mean, Brad, you know, 16 is really what our tournament's about. I mean, the Bird's Nest, 16, and now Greenskeeper's become that other destination, and it's been a blast being the chairman and last year being the assistant chair.
Well, and look, I think four eventually, the other par threes out
here. I'm with you.
Four, you turn four into 16.
Yeah.
Like if we look at big vision, okay, I think both of us look at like, okay, big wide deal. Where's it gonna go? Narrow it down. You can't do anything else at 16.
Can't get any bigger.
Okay.
Right.
You and I are looking at it right now. You can do some stuff at 17.
Yep. And we've done that, and that's worked. And people like 17 because you could go for it, right? Go for it in one.
And then even 15 has a little bit of a shot because you have an island.
Yep.
Okay, but you don't have a lot of space over there.
No, there isn't a lot of space. I mean, you could surround the green, but I'm not sure that's the area. I think you're right. I think the par threes are where we need to continue to pack them in. And you know, because these crowds are – there's nothing like 16 in golf. Nothing. And you know, I think the networks have a blast with it. I know the players have a blast with it. The caddies love it. and we could continue to create that elsewhere.
Okay, so the PGA said no more caddy races.
Yeah, that's a shame.
But how was the PGA about a beach?
You know, at first we thought they were going to object, and they've actually loved it. I mean, they've put out tweets about perfect beach weather, come on out. So they've fully embraced
good.
It.
That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, they have. And TPC's been great. Everybody has really, you know, really, as I use the word embracing it, they've embraced it. And they've accepted it, and they like it. It's gonna be a highlight of the week.
Derek Hall with us. So here's the thing. You're in the entertainment business at the end of the day. You have your baseball team, but you've morphed into concerts through the years, not just you, but other venues. So you see this. There's talk of an outdoor game down at your facility with the Coyotes.
Yep.
Where's that at right now?
Well, I think they're just in the beginning stages of talking to the league. And, you know, I've had conversations with Anthony, and we'll continue to. We want to make sure, you know, we cooperate, we help them. We'll be a good go-between with the, you know, county and the Coyotes. But I want to see it happen. I think it'd be great. Our venue's perfect for it. We have a great relationship with the Coyotes. I want to see them play at Chase Field.
Because you could do the truck polls, you could do all the truck races, the motocross in January,
yep.
do an outdoor game in early February and be fine?
Yeah.
Is that about right?
Absolutely, yeah. So then we, by mid-February, start putting the new field in. It's actually, the timing works perfect. You know, you've got the dirt there anyway, so you just take out the dirt, you put in, put in some ice, and I think the configuration, as we've seen now at Dodger Stadium, Yankee Stadium, and at Fenway, it works. I mean, we can do it.
What year?
I'm not sure of the year yet. It would probably make sense next year if we can do it quick enough because of the Super Bowl here.
I mean, you think about
you'd have the Open, you'd have the Super Bowl. You could, you know, you're all eyes are on Phoenix at that time. And I think we're going to go back to New York. Hopefully, I can go with them and meet with the commissioner and sell our destination.
Wow.
Yeah.
Outdoor hockey game the week of the Super Bowl, the week of
Wouldn't
the
Wouldn't that
Open.
Be cool?
That would.
No, I may be getting ahead of myself.
No. But
that's not filler.
But see, no, that's not filler. But see, you can even do it. I'm thinking of 16. You have the national title game in college football.
Yeah.
17. Now they're finalists for a Final Four. But in that time span, if you're willing to do it and put all the pieces together, you could make a mega event.
No,
you really
no
could.
Question. And the precedent is there. I mean, they know how to do it now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've now done it in several different venues, several different ballparks. And it's getting to the point, much like the Crown Jewel events, where they know they're going to do this, and they bring their team in and get ready to go. I don't think they need that much of a planning or ahead time.
So today we have the pro-am, and Aaron Hill, according to one of your staff,
hits
a dribbler off the tee, and he's supposedly really good.
He's really embarrassing himself.
What's the deal?
Well, you know, I'm going to put the blame on his father-in-law, who's his caddy. I'm going to say he probably gave him the wrong.
Always throw the caddy under the bus.
That's his father-in-law, Steve. I think his dad made his father-in-law made the wrong choice of club. That's all. It was a bad selection by the caddy because our second baseman's too good a golfer, and he certainly doesn't get the jitters in front of fans, right?
No, I've never seen him screw up like that.
No.
He's a pretty good dude.
Yeah.
We're going to go out there and heckle him. Hey, you blow, come on.
And I love that our communication staff is letting everybody know publicly how poorly he drove the ball. That's great.
Randy Johnson, okay, you and I have talked about this one through the years.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson going into the Hall of Fame. I talked about last week where Greg Maddux decided, I'm not going to go in as a Cub, I'm not going to go in as a Brave. Well, that's a little wishy-washy for me.
Yeah.
Where are we at with Randy? Am I to make a lot out of, as I already have, that the fact he's out here doing these types of events, knowing your relationship with him, you've been building the bridge. Am I on the right path?
You are, and you saw us yesterday, you know, hanging out together at the Special Olympics putting event, and he's really in a good place, you know, with the organization, with us. I mean, Randy's he's important to us. He's a big part of our history. You know, he should be a first-time ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, he should be in.
Which is next year. Next year, yeah.
And if it happens, which it will, in my opinion, knock on wood, you know, I would hope that he goes in as a Diamondback. This is where he had his best years, and he and I have had those conversations. I mean, this is where he won his Cy Youngs. This is where he won the World Series. You know, he built his fan base up early, sure, with Montreal and Seattle and All-Star after All-Star, but this is where he had the most meaningful part of his playing career.
Is he open to these conversations when you have them?
He's terrific.
Does he bring them up first, or are you the one that brings it up first?
A little bit of both.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I could tell when he doesn't want to talk about it. You know, and like yesterday, we had conversations about everything. You know, we're going to Australia. You know, I just picked his brain to see if he and his wife want to go with us. You know, I would love to have him go along, but Randy needs to be associated with us, and he came out last spring, worked with a few of our pitchers, and,
right.
and we talked about it yesterday. He's going to come out more this year. This, you know, it's spring training. He loves the facility, hadn't been there, wants to spend more time there. He's welcome to come out whenever he wants.
Greatness can be complicated, can't it?
Yeah, it can.
When you deal with, you know...
It can, but I get it. I mean, I understand,
I
especially
too.
When you're Randy. I mean, everybody, you look at Randy Johnson, you know it's Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's only one other person taller than him out there, and that's you. But
taller than not as wide as him.
But, and Randy...
And he's not wide.
He's not wide, but he's, you know, I think he's just now comfortable with not, you know, not playing anymore. That's tough, too, for players when they're finished. I mean, Gonzo...
Yes.
I don't think Gonzo was finished, you know, and he felt like he still had some play left in him. He wanted a couple more doubles, obviously, and you know, that was tough for him to have to hang up the cleats or spikes in our case and work for us, but he's been the best.
I call it lost souls.
Yeah.
You see the guys, and it doesn't matter what sport they're in, they can't get, though, if it's baseball, they can't get the 35 to 45,000 out of their heads every night.
It's
tough. If it's football, they can't get the 70,000 in the hits and the time of the year, and so they take their money and they go put it into restaurants and they lose it all, or, you know, they go do things, and we've seen it.
Yeah.
You and I have both seen it with guys. You're like, wow.
Yep.
Feel bad. Hope you're okay. Biggest names around in sports that have bottomed out because they don't know how to adjust to life.
I agree, but I think our legends, you look at our legends, I think they're a bit more grounded. I mean, Gonzo's, you know, he's never going to have that. He's not going to experience that. He's managed his money well, his relationship with the fans, with us. I mean, he's doing a great job in our front office. Gracie now, you know, new chapters, enjoying coaching. Matt Williams becomes a manager in our league, which is tremendous. And Randy, I mean, Randy, you know, he's a local guy. He's a big public figure, obviously, but I think he's going to be terrific when he decides, I'm going to now focus on getting back to work. I think he wants to be with his kids now. Speaking of kids, mine turned 18 today, right before I went on with
him. Wow.
I got a note from him after I told him.
Hey, by the way, Dad, happy birthday.
Yeah, 18.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, anyway.
I know. Gracie, okay, so I've been worried about Mark for years. I think a lot of people have been worried about Mark for years, but
yeah.
You don't talk about that stuff. And then he had what he had, and you decided to put him in a managerial spot within the organization.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's worked out well. And, you know, showing him that we have confidence in him and faith in him at a time when he probably needed it. You know, it would have been easy to kick him to the curb, but that's not who we are. At the time, we didn't think it was right for him to continue being a face of the team when he was going through that on the broadcast, and he understood that. And we asked him if he wanted to coach again. I think now he's really thrilled that happened. This is his love. He tells me every day, I can't wait to get out on the field and work with these kids. And so working with them as a hitting instructor now, he's a hitting coach. He's going to come to spring with us and coach with the major league team.
I said manager. I missed it.
Yes.
Yeah,
no, but he wants to manage.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's where he's heading. I think it's going to be great. And, you know, here he is now probably going to Australia with us and be a part of the major league coaching staff. It's a thrill for him.
Did he have to – you two have some very difficult conversations over the last year or so.
Not at all.
Prove to me where you are or no.
No, not at all. No. Very supportive. He was very appreciative. You know, again, somebody who's important to the organization, you don't turn your back on him. This is somebody who needs to be a D-back, and he is. And it was a time where the D-backs were there for him.
So back out here to finish things up.
Yeah.
What are you expecting this week if Phil doesn't play? Have you guys had that conversation? I'm sure the Thunderbirds have had that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we want Phil here. We need Phil. I mean, Phil is the fan favorite here. But I think the beauty of this tournament is, with or without Phil, you know, we're still going to draw. We're still going to bring out record crowds. And, I mean, certainly it helps when he's here. The atmosphere at 16, the crowd in the gallery that wants to follow him. But they come here regardless. And a lot of people don't even see one ball struck.
No, that's right.
Right.
They see one beer cap.
That's right. You're correct. And again, Thunder Beach, we're seeing plenty of that.
Thunder. Yeah. Do you know anything as we're sitting here now about Phil?
I don't, Brad. Yeah, I think I know the same as you. He's going to do everything he can to be here. This is his favorite tournament. You know, this is his homecoming every year. He's the defending champ. He'll be here if he can. And I guess we'll find out today or tomorrow.
All right.
I'm hoping. My fingers are crossed.
Is the beach sold out?
The beach is, no, it's not sold out. People can still buy tickets to get out there, but it's going to be packed.
All right. Swing on by. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Brad. Good to see you. Great job.
Derek Hall. Thank you. We have
Filler.
Clark Judge. I'm going to call you Filler from now on. We have Filler coming on. Back with more after this time out. Sports 360 AZ. AZ Central Sports. AZ Central Sports streaming us as well now. Stay with us. Our coverage of the Waste Management Phoenix Open brought to you by Gateway Airport in Mesa. I've been telling you for a year and a half now about how Gateway Airport in Mesa is just plain easy with more than 35 destinations on Allegiant Airlines. I've taken the show to locations all around the country, as has Eric. We love flying out of Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport is fast, friendly people, and affordable. You can get to Vegas, the Bay Area, Provo, Utah, Bellingham, just to name a few of the destinations. My daughter's going to college outside of Chicago. I'm going to fly Gateway to Rockford. Convenient, easy, affordable for the SESMAD household. How about you? Gateway Airport is my airport, just off the 202 Santan Freeway in Mesa off Power Road. Newly expanded terminal, free Wi-Fi, charging station, shopping, food, it's all there. JustPlainEasy.com, that's JustPlainEasy.com, year-round Gateway Airport. It's just plain easy. Right now out on the course is the Pro-Am today. Jim McMahon, Emmett Smith. Eric, if you were to go follow any one of these guys, would you want to follow Emmett, Jim McMahon, Aaron Hill, Randy Johnson, Julius Erving, Bruce Arians, Patrick Peterson, or Richard Dent?
I would say
a lot of guys, but you got to pick one. Who do you want to follow?
Randy Johnson or Bruce Arians?
I kind of want to see how Patrick Peterson plays. Randy at 16. So Randy teed off. Randy teed off at 10 after 9. So 10 after the hour. So he's been out on the course for about an hour and a half now, and he started on 1. So he's not going to get to 16. If you guys are coming out here later today, it'll be later this afternoon that you'll catch Randy. But Patrick Peterson, because he's such a good athlete, Bruce Arians, yeah, there's a curiosity. It was like when Wiz was out here. When Wiz was out here, a lot of people followed him. But it's 80 degrees on the course today. We're doing the show here at the Patriots Outpost on the 18th tee box. There's a real tank that's right next to us. You cannot miss it. But you can't get in here unless you are active or retired. If you served in the military or are serving in the military, that's the only way you can get into this place. It's that high end where they just take care of military folks. They've asked me to be here to do the show today, tomorrow, and Friday. And later on, we'll have Clark Judge from New York, all things NFL. I'm sure we'll talk about Warren Sapp versus Michael Strahan. Clark is in the room for the Hall of Fame this Saturday. And if Aeneas Williams will get in, we'll talk to Clark about that in about 15 minutes. And then Gary McCord will be with us after the top of the hour, CBS Sports golf analyst. Always good to have Gary McCord, one of the true characters in the game. He will join us as well. So there's a couple things around the Super Bowl that caught my eye. One of them is Jonathan Martin. We have to go revisit the story of Jonathan Martin. You remember Jonathan Martin, the offensive tackle with the Miami Dolphins, and how he was in a spot with one of his teammates, and it didn't go well, and he ended up leaving the organization with Richie Incognito right in the middle of it. The incident between Martin and Incognito, the findings of it, a report compiled by the attorneys, is going to be released shortly after the Super Bowl. Okay, here's the thing, though. It's come out now that Jonathan Martin met with Tony Dungy, did a sit-down with Tony Dungy for the Super Bowl broadcast, and wants to keep playing. So if you're the Arizona Cardinals, do you look at Jonathan Martin? That may sound crazy to you. There's a couple things here. Offensive tackle. Do the Cardinals need help on the offensive line? The answer to that would be, in my opinion, yes. It's still not where it needs to be. What would the price tag be to get Jonathan Martin? He wants to work with the team so that he can be traded to a team with earnest interest in him. The Dolphins can't trade Martin until after the beginning of the calendar year in the NFL, which is in March. So two general managers last week in the Super Bowl, in the Senior Bowl rather, two GMs at the Senior Bowl last week said that Jonathan Martin is worth something. Now, would he play well in a locker room? Would guys trust him as a teammate? Would he be a guy that tore apart a locker room? Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin both disappeared from the roster, and the Miami Dolphins were close to making the playoffs. They recovered and recovered nicely. It's just one guy. Can't tear a complete team apart. Bottom line is, if guys can play, I think you have to look at if a guy can help you out. So there's that. The Marshawn Lynch story yesterday, which I said was just filling time, it truly was. So while a lot of guys in my spot are doing Marshawn Lynch today, I don't see it. Let's just get on with the game. I know it's only Wednesday, and guys want to figure out a way to fill a half hour to get through their shows. It's not me. Tonight, over on the basketball end of things, I've got Kevin Durant against LeBron James tonight. So I've got to put everything else on hold on my sports viewing calendar to watch a little bit of it, because Durant has been so good this year, and he doesn't have nearly the support cast that LeBron James has. And LeBron James, four-time MVP, and the game's at home tonight in Miami, so it's definitely worth watching. Durant's averaging almost 36 a game in five regular season games against LeBron, so you know that he pushes himself to another level. We had the story yesterday. Eric, did you hear about the nickname of Kevin Durant and how he's not happy with the name, the nickname that has been put on him, the Slim Reaper?
No, I hadn't heard that.
I kind of like that nickname. Yeah, he's not happy. So they did this deal in Oklahoma City, and it took off online, and now they've come up with the Slim Reaper nickname for Kevin Durant. He doesn't think it's very complimentary. Well, look, last time I checked, you're slim. Here's the joke. Pour tomato juice in him, turn him sideways, and you have a thermometer, okay? He's slim. A reaper is somebody who wreaks havoc. I can go look the Webster's Dictionary definition up if you'd like, but in my view, a reaper is somebody who wreaks havoc. So Slim Reaper versus King James tonight. I kind of like that. We don't have nicknames anymore in sports, do we? I mean, these are really cool nicknames in sports anymore. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's marketing guys that have gotten away from it. But by and large, we don't have guys with nicknames attached to them. Larry Fitzgerald, does Larry Fitzgerald have a nickname? No, he doesn't. He's just Fitz, right? The late, great Walter Payton was Sweetness. What a great nickname that was. The round mound of rebound was Charles Barkley, or Sir Charles. Now, Kevin Durant gets worked up over this. That's half the fun of sports. I don't go around trying to find nicknames. I gave Elliot Perry the nickname Socks back in the day. But there's nobody on the Suns right now that, in my opinion, is worthy of a nickname. I don't see it. So I'm looking forward to that tonight. On the other side, we're going to break earlier because I want a little extra time with Clark Judge. On Warren Sapp versus Michael Strahan, because this ended up being a big blow-up yesterday in New York City, and it's continuing on today, where Warren Sapp said that Michael Strahan does not deserve to be voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I've said before, I'm not a fan of Strahan's. I see him as an empty suit. He just is somebody that shows up on the couch and does this thing with Kelly and is just trying to be mass appeal. Yeah, he put up great numbers. But does Warren Sapp have any validity, or is he just full of it? That's next. Clark Judge, then Gary McCord, as we continue on the Patriots Outpost at the 18th hole here at the Phoenix Open. Our coverage brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport in Mesa. It's just plain easy. Stay with us.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
The biggest key is you try to just stay in your game. You try not to let those kinds of things affect you too much. Now, you know, you have to gauge it, and you have to understand, okay, when I'm thrown into the wind, I got to keep that nose down, and I got to try to fight it through.
That's Kurt Warner with me on yesterday's show. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, at the Patriots Outpost on AZ Central Sports now as well, as we formed a partnership with AZ Central and the Republic. Appreciate their support, Mark Hyland and company as well. Clark Judge joins us now, all things NFL. He is going to be sitting in the room for the Pro Football Hall of Fame vote on Saturday. We had Aeneas Williams on earlier this week. A lot of Cardinal fans want to see Aeneas get in. We'll get into that in a minute. Where are you right now?
I'm in the lobby of the media hotel on 52nd Street, really the media headquarters in New York City.
How bad is it to get around New York City right now?
It's not bad. Honestly, we took the bus in, and we had a police escort, so that always helps. But it wasn't that bad. And on the streets, I wouldn't know a difference. I mean, I live 25 blocks away from here. Up there, you don't know notice anything that's different or unusual about what's going on. And down here, I mean, in this area, Brad, I don't know if you've been here, but it's where Radio City Music Hall is, and there are always a lot of people in this area, so it's no different.
Okay, so far, how has New York, New Jersey done with the Super Bowl?
I think okay.
It's Wednesday.
I
mean, how have they done?
Yeah, the expectations were very low, so I think they've done fine. I will tell you, the media situation today over the Seahawks, not good. I mean, the cramped areas, very difficult. Yesterday, it was a little bit tight in the Prudential Center, but I think because the expectations were so low, they've met them.
What are you hearing about Sunday and the forecast?
The forecast Sunday is actually reasonably encouraging. Mid-30s doesn't look like any precipitation. Could be some wind. To me, wind is a factor, but especially in that stadium, in that area. But I look at the weather report and say, from both teams' vantage point, pretty good news, because today I think the high is something like 24. And it does feel, honestly, if you live here, it feels like a spring thaw. But I can imagine on Sunday in the mid-30s, it'll feel really toasty. But by 6:30, I'm going to guess probably low 30s. But if there's no wind, I think then it's just a game. Really, I don't think the weather's a factor.
Okay, so I had Kurt Warner on yesterday, and he, of course, had a forgettable year as a Giant, and he battled the wind there, and he talked at great lengths about it. The wind has been an angle, I think, over the last week and a half. What are you hearing about the wind a little bit more on Sunday night, and do you think it affects either quarterback?
Yeah, I do. I mean, if there's a significant wind, and I've seen it when it's really bad there, Brad, I do think it will affect Manny simply because their game is passing. Listen, I don't care how well, no, Sean Moreno is running the ball. They're not going to run. They're going to try throwing it because it's Peyton Manning. He loves throwing the ball with good reason. He's very good at it. So I do think it would affect him because I think Seattle can come into this game and say, we're going to beat you with Marshawn Lynch and a little bit of Russell Wilson. I think Denver comes in and says, we're going to beat you with Peyton Manning and a little bit of no, Sean Moreno. So what I'm hearing about the wind, that it's simply, I've seen that it's supposed to be reasonably cold. Reasonably cold means mid-30s, but there could be some wind. Now, lately, as I've said, I heard the conditions might not be that windy. If that's the case, I think it's a great situation for Denver. That doesn't mean I think Denver wins. I just think that's encouraging for Peyton Manning.
Clark Judge joins us for a couple of minutes. All things NFL with Clark Judge. Brad Sussmath, we're at the 18th tee. I'm going to rub it in on Clark a little bit. I'm at the 18th tee at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, where it is 80 degrees today. It's supposed to be maybe in the low 80s tomorrow and Friday. Next year at this time, when you're out here, you have to come out here to the golf tournament on Pro-Am Day, because there'll be so many. Today I've got, what do I have today in the NFL, guys? I've got Bruce Arians, I've got Patrick Peterson, I've got Richard Dent, I've got Jim McMahon, I've got Emmett Smith, all playing golf out here today in the 80s. Versus what's going on back there. So next year, Clark, you have to come out here. Promise. You can take off an hour or two. I know it'll be hard for you, but you need to be out here. It'll be fun.
That's a deal.
Got
as long
it?
As I can take your plastic with me when we go out to dinner.
Yeah, no, I got that. It's not very thick plastic, but it's plastic enough. Okay, so the Hall of Fame side of things, and I have a couple more Super Bowl questions I'll get back around to, but Warren Sapp versus Michael Strahan, is this a legitimate beef? Is this something to fill time before we get to the game? Where are you at with Warren Sapp saying Michael Strahan's not a Hall of Famer right now?
Yeah, it's something to fill the gap, Brad. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I consider the source. I'm not a Warren Sapp fan, never have been. Was he a good football player? Yeah. Is he a nice guy? No. He knows nothing about Michael Strahan in terms of where he stands in that room, because he's not in that room. Michael Strahan, I think, is one of the leading, will probably be one of the leading vote getters this year for the Hall of Fame. That's my guess. Just testing the temperature of that room, I think he's going to be a guy that you're going to say on Sunday was one of the new inductees. That's a guess. Sooner or later, he's going to get in. What Michael Strahan is to Warren Sapp, I can only guess. I don't know what the beef is, but to me, it's much ado about nothing other than it's just Warren Sapp revealing himself as a not-so-nice guy.
I wasn't a big Michael Strahan guy at the end of his career. I'll be honest with you, Clark. There's just something, and then to see where he's gone over to do the entertainment side and roll in on a Sunday
right.
to do not a whole lot, okay? So I've got to use that as a backdrop. There was no denying the numbers, but everybody's caught up in one sack saying it was tainted on Strahan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that you talk about the sack record. Was it tainted? I was at that game. Yeah, it probably was. Brett Favre fell down. I mean, he fell down to do his buddy a favor. That said, That said, he still had, what, 21 and a half? That's pretty good, but he had 22 and a half, got the record. So was that legit? Yeah, probably is a fair accusation, but it goes deeper than that to say he doesn't belong in there. Certainly he belongs in the conversation, but he's got something against him. To say Simeon Rice deserves to be in there ahead of Michael Strahan, I saw both of them play. They're both terrific players. Listen, Simeon Rice was a great pass rusher. I think Michael Strahan was a great pass rusher and a guy who could play the line as well.
Simeon Rice, there's another former Arizona Cardinal. Gosh, they're all over the place. Aeneas Williams, is this it for Aeneas? Is this going to happen? We had him on Monday, and he's trying to say all the right things because he's Aeneas Williams, but you can just kind of hear it in his voice. I'm hoping that this happens.
Yeah, I'm hoping it happens too, Brad. He's so close. He really is. He's a guy who was in the conversation last year and the year before, and I thought he might make it last year. He might make it this year. Honestly, I'm going to say if I had to guess at this point, I'm going to give you three guys who I think are getting in. Now, I mean, I'd say Derek Brooks is one of them. I'd say Michael Strahan is the other, and Walter Jones. Those guys, I think, are almost automatic. There's nobody that's automatic other than, you know, Joe Montana or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. But I'd say those three, you look at and say, okay, they're three of the five. Who's the fourth guy? I'm thinking it's probably going to be Will Shields, terrific offensive lineman for the Chiefs. He's been in the conversation down to the wire each year. I'm going to guess him as the fourth. Now the fifth is wide open. The fifth is wide open. That's why I think Aeneas Williams could sneak in. Now, that means Aeneas Williams goes in ahead of a guy like Marvin Harrison. With Marvin Harrison as the first ballot guy jump the queue, and that means jump the queue with a guy like Tim Brown and Andre Reed, he might. With Tony Dungy as the first ballot Hall of Fame candidate jump the queue, he might. Those are guys I think you have to look at. Jerome Bettis is another guy, but I do think that came down to Bettis and Williams. Williams would get in, but the competition I think will be Andre Reed, too. Andre Reed is a guy who's been sitting there and been close with Aeneas Williams the last few years. Could you take Andre Reed and try to break up that logjam at wide receiver as we did last year with Chris Carter? I think it's going to be very close for Aeneas Williams. To me, sooner or later he gets in. I hope it's sooner.
Yeah, Will Shields and Walter Jones, two very good offensive linemen. I know you can't talk about the room, Clark, because the NFL Hall of Fame voting is very, very, very top secret. I get that. But when guys are presented, okay, so like offensive linemen, when they're presented, who's the one that brings their name up? How's that? Can you at least give us that, or is that even forbidden?
In terms of what, I mean, how, I mean, their names are, certainly they're among the 15 candidates, so now they're going to be discussed, and they're discussed or presented by people in their city. So Will Shields will be presented by Randy Kovitz, who's from Kansas City. Randy Kovitz has done his background on him because he covered the Chiefs. He will stand up and present Will Shields, at which point they'll open it up for discussion of people say, this is why I like him, this is why I don't, and at what point, at some point during that time, the conversation will abate, and then we'll move on to the next candidate. But we go through all 15, whittle it down to 10, and then go from there.
And that'll be this Saturday. And then by Saturday night, you let the people know, you let the players know, like Aeneas Williams told me, he's going to be staying close by to where you guys are at. So that's when you let them know, correct? Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's what, well, yeah, and I mean, it's being done on prime time this year. Brad is, I think, handled through the Fox this year, and it's done at 8 o'clock, so we keep pushing it back farther and farther, trying to get more exposure for the Hall of Fame, and I understand that for the players, because I do think they're deserving. I think it's sort of been an underwhelming experience in terms of the process in the last few years, but yeah, that'll happen at 8, but what happens when we vote on the final list, we don't know who the final five and the two senior candidates are at that point. I mean, we certainly know who the two senior candidates are, but whether they're getting in or not. I think a couple years ago, we voted on the two, and one of them didn't get in. That's just unusual. Generally, they do, and I sure hope it's the case this year because we've got two deserving guys, and one of whom is Ray Guy of Hunter that I feel especially, strident about. I just think it's overdue. He's one of the two guys on the 75th anniversary team who's not in the Hall of Fame. The other guy's Billy White Shoes Johnson, who was a punt returner, but Ray Guy deserves to be in, as does Claude Humphrey, and I hope they do get in. But that at 8 o'clock, that's the point when we find out who the five modern era candidates are and if the two seniors are making it.
Let you go off this last question. Who do you like in the game Sunday?
I like Seattle. I'm old school. I like defense. I think they're a terrific physical defense, and I think we learned with Tom Brady in 2007, with Tom Brady again in 2011, that great defenses trump great quarterbacks.
Stay well. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Clark, as always. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Brad.
Clark Judge, all things NFL. He'll be in the room. Join us live from New York City. He'll be in the room as part of the he's got a big spot, voting responsibility for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and has covered the NFL for 30 years. Appreciate his time. Doc Wilmick is with us, Michael Doc Wilmick, and he is, of course, the person that puts together Patriots Outpost. I mentioned his name earlier. Thanks for having us, by the way.
Oh, our pleasure. Welcome, Brad. Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to 18, to the Outpost. This is our second year running this venue, and it's our opportunity just to really give back to the military.
So how does this work? If people are listening, taking us in right now, how does this work this week for them to come out? What do they have to do?
Yeah, starting tomorrow, if you're an active service person, bring your military ID, or if you're a vet, bring your veteran's ID, and you're getting the tournament for free, and then show up to the tent here, which is right by the tank.
Which you let us climb all over the other day, which is very nice. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I had the honor of being able to drive in on the tank off the trailer, which was quite an awesome moment. So, yeah, come up the 18 fairway, and we've got the venue here. You'll see the tank, and you just have to sign in and come on in. And we've got beverages. We've got some Miller High Life beer and beverages, as well as food for the veterans. It's all free, and a wonderful venue to watch the players tee off on 18. You can even see a little bit over to the green on 17. And, of course, we've got lots of fun stuff going on across the water at the Greenskeeper.
Yeah, yeah. Derek was here earlier, and I said, if there's a gopher on the course, we have a tank to blow the gopher up. If anybody gets out of hand down there with your lifeguards, I want Baywatch lifeguards, and I want crocodiles in the water, because I really want to take this. No, I'm just kidding, all that stuff. But the fact you have a tank here, that's pretty cool. You're telling me somebody had a Blackhawk helicopter, too?
Yeah, one of our fellow Thunderbirds is in the reserves, and he flies the Blackhawks, and we were out here golfing a couple weeks ago, and he was just, out for some exercise with the copter. Did a few flyovers.
Right here on 18, a Blackhawk.
Yeah, on 18.
How close was he to you guys?
Oh, he was probably 500 feet above us.
Yeah.
And he was dipping and doodling, and he's quite a pilot, and he can make that machine hum.
That's fun.
We're getting some good energy here on 18.
No.
18 is our signature hole, and we're just starting to add to it. 17's bigger now, and 18's becoming just a wonderful venue.
Well, and look, this event, for me to be last year when Tom Altieri said, you need to go to Patriots Outpost and do your show, I was just blown away. And then to be back here again this year, because guys will walk in here with their families tomorrow, and some of them won't be able to walk very well, and some of them don't have limbs, and some of them have patches, and all of them have a story. And you cannot help but get a little choked up if you see the people that come in here and how they're blown away that somebody wants to take care of them.
Right.
That's what gets me about this one. I mean, this is no joke. This isn't some place just to come party and hang out and say, oh, yeah, it's kind of cool. Let's attach the military to it. Not a chance. So right. That's what's going on out here.
And what's strange is they come up to me and they thank us. And I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
It's you guys, you're the people who've made the sacrifices to give us our freedoms, allow us to do this kind of stuff on an everyday basis. And, yeah, it's amazing. I had a couple of vets last year say, we came home from Vietnam, people were spitting on us.
Yeah.
And you guys are doing this for us. And there were tears.
Wow.
We really enjoy doing this venue, and it's going to be something that's here to stay.
Thanks for coming by and having us in.
My pleasure.
Stay well.
You too.
That's Doc Wilmick here for a couple of minutes, Patriots Outpost. So, Doc, the minute they said you're going to come back out, Doc and his crew have been great out here setting us up. We're here tomorrow and Friday as well, just outside of 18 with a tent up on the east, on the east side of the 18th tee. Gary McCord's going to join us. We're going to visit with Gary, and over the next couple of days, I think Calais Campbell's joining us tomorrow from the Super Bowl. I know Jay Perry from the Super Bowl host committee. I want to get into it with her on where are they at in terms of getting things put together out here. They have Crazy Pants Day out here with the Thunderbirds. They do their thing. So we're seeing some pants that you just wouldn't be caught dead in unless you're at a golf tournament. It's half the fun out here. Phil Mickelson, trying to get an update on him as well. We continue on, Brad. Sussmat, Sports360, AZ.com, on AZCentralSports.com, White Mountain Radio on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Off we go in hour number two, Brad Sussmat, Sports360, AZ.com, today live from the Waste Management Phoenix Open, overlooking the 18th tee. We're at the Patriots Outpost. On the east side of 18T, we've got a real military tank right next to us. If you're making your way on out, this place where I'm doing the show from is for veterans, active military, to swing on by here. That's the only way you can get in here, and this will be the place packed with military members here as the day progresses and throughout this weekend. It's free if you just show your active military or your military, if you're retired military, show your military ID. You get in here for free. That's how it works. Free food, free drink, great people. It's well done. You can see the 18th tee and actually 17 you can check out as well. Great view from out here. Gary McCord, we're trying to get hooked up with him here in a couple of minutes, and hopefully that will take place. Our coverage of the Waste Management Phoenix Open brought to you by Gateway Airport in Mesa. I've been telling you for a year and a half now about how Gateway Airport in Mesa just plain easy with more than 35 destinations on Allegiant Airlines. We've taken the show to locations all around the country the last couple of 8 years. I love flying out of Gateway Airport. Gateway is fast, friendly people, affordable. You can get to Vegas, the Bay Area, other destinations, Provo, Utah, Bellingham, just to name a few. I'm going to go to Rockford to see my daughter when she heads off to Chicago to play soccer, flying on Gateway to Rockford. Affordable for the Sesmat household. Gateway's my airport. How about you? Just off the 202 Santan Freeway in Mesa, off Power Road, newly expanded terminal, free Wi-Fi, charging station, shopping, food. It's all there. JustPlainEasy.com. JustPlainEasy.com. Gateway Airport. It's just plain easy. Some of the things going on in the world of sports in the middle of the day here. Phil Mickelson not playing today in the Pro-Am as expected because of his back trouble. Head over to our Facebook page, weigh in on our poll question about Phil Mickelson. If he's not here to defend his title this weekend, that's at facebook.com/sports360az. Weigh in on that front. The Suns tonight, this is a busy night. We've got to prioritize here a little bit tonight. Got the Suns trying to go 3-0 on their road trip at Milwaukee. Milwaukee's the worst team in the NBA, so if you're a fan of the Suns or if you've not seen them play, I'm expecting them, after they had an all-expense-paid night in Milwaukee last night, I'm sure that they're not having a Scottsdale night. The Suns are trying for 3-0 on the road trip. And I love Milwaukee. I've been there to do events, but Milwaukee's not good, so the Suns should take care of business tonight. We also have number one U of A playing Stanford tonight and ASU playing Cal Knight. So there's a lot of college basketball, and the Suns tonight. Where I'm sitting at here at the Patriots Outpost on 18, it's supposed to be 81 degrees today. Out on the course right now, the Pro-Am is going on. Bruce Arians, the Cardinals head coach, Dr. J, Randy Johnson, Aaron Hill, Jim McMahon, Emmett Smith, among others. CBS Sports Golf Analyst Gary McCord joins us now for a couple of minutes. Gary, it's Brad Sesmat once again. How are you?
Brad, how are you doing?
Gary, I'm sitting at 18 in the Patriots Outpost, and it's 81 degrees. Life doesn't suck today.
Oh, that's why we live here, Brad. That's why, you know, it's better than Atlanta right now. And I got a bunch of buddies there, and they would love to be here right now at 81 playing golf on green grass, believe me.
Do you expect Phil to play this week, Gary?
Yeah, I do. I talked to Bones yesterday. He's got a facet joint, his lower back. That's, you know, the little bony thing that comes out from your vertebrae. That kind of got inflamed and locked up, so he's got no movement in his back left side. So he was with Tom Boer in Atlanta getting that fixed. And I'm, you know, Seth, we've all had that. He'll figure out a way to do it. He doesn't get injured much, so he'll figure out a way to get there.
Does he need to play this week? I guess the question is, if Phil didn't play, it would be disappointing, sure, but I think everybody would understand if he said, I'm not going to play, guys. I got to be ready down the road. But does he need to play?
This is not something that is that diabolical. It's not structural. It's like all of us get. If you play this game long enough, your back goes out and it's going to go away. So this is his second home. Designed his only golf course up here, and all of his buddies are here. The people love him. He understands that he will. I would be very, very surprised if he did not play.
Yeah. Yeah, Gary McCord with CBS Sports for a couple of minutes. As the season begins, there's a lot of fans, Gary, that are just now putting their arms around the coming season. What are some of the storylines? Who are some of the storylines you're looking at for this week? Obviously, Phil will be the dominating one, but who are the storylines you're looking at for this week's tournament?
Well, it's you know, it's that constant barrage of who's the next guy coming up. And again, Brent, I haven't even looked at that. I don't even know who's playing here this week. Yeah. I'll know by Saturday when I start, but I haven't even looked at the field, so I don't know if Jordan Spieth is here. I talked to Patrick Harrington. I know he's here. He was at our golf course yesterday. I don't know who the field is here. So, but it's, I'll just give you the general, when you first start off the first of the year, it's who's going to step up early. You know, it gets complicated. This tour started 10 tournaments ago, back in 2013. So we've got some guys up there that people wouldn't really know because none of the good players started the tour back in October. So this is a whole new deal for everybody to figure out. But I look at this. I look at, okay, Jordan Spieth, you know, how good can he get? I think we're all enjoying the ride and seeing how he matures and plays the game. And to see if, you know, a 20-year-old can step up, which he did last year, and do what he's doing. And then the other storylines are just a bunch of guys hurt coming back from injuries, all sorts of things. Tiger obviously is over in Abu Dhabi right now playing, so those guys are over there. It's just kind of wild, wild west here in the West at this time of the year.
No, I get it. And Jordan Spieth was great last week. It's a terrific story to see him. We always like to see the who's next angle. And so I get it where you're coming on that front. Before I let you go, how's your health?
Perfect. Yeah. Other than the fact I'm old, health-wise, good. It, you know, I'm under the axiom that, you know, it just every day it's going to get worse, you know, because you're old. So you just kind of deal with it and deal with all the stuff that comes because as most of my buddies know, it's not easy getting old. It's not for the faint of heart.
Well, and last week there was a nice moment where Peter Costas received a hug out on the course from Tiger Woods. I did see that on your broadcast. And so Peter's health, your health, I mean, yeah, you're getting old on one hand. On the other hand, Gary, you're one of those people that I've seen through the years here in the Valley. I know you're a big part of the scene, not just in golf, but in things behind the scenes. And so I just want to know if you're doing fine, and I look forward to seeing you later this week out here.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm fantastic. I'm running 100 miles. I'm running so much faster than I did when I was in my 20s. It's unbelievable. So yeah, everything is good. It's nice to have a job, and things are great.
I'll let you go off that, Gary. I'll see you this week. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Brad.
It's Gary McCord with us, CBS Sports. You know, Gary had a heart condition, and it was tough. It was tough stuff, and he's so good out on the tour and just good for the game of golf, and we look forward to seeing him out here this week as well. A couple other things tonight or today before we get out of here. So the Coyotes announced today. Guys, it's Super Bowl week. You might want to wait a week to announce that you're officially changing the name of the team to the Arizona Coyotes to start the 2014-2015 season. I don't know. I don't want it to get lost, so I'm going to bring it up, which is fine. I'm not ripping on them. It's just think a little bit. They had a nice win last night. They took care of the Kings. I'm fine with name changes. Okay, the Arizona Coyotes. It's fine. All that I care about is will the ownership be satisfied with where things are going with the city of Glendale? Because again, over the weekend, the stories have come out about how that it's not really working out financially like they thought it would be. So there's that story that's going on as well. There's that. Rich Rodriguez is in the Valley today. He's meeting with several high school kids trying to get their commitments firmed up next week's National Letter of Intent Day. We're going to do a lot next week around National Letter of Intent and with the signing classes next Wednesday of ASU and U of A. And we look forward to that. If you're coming out today to the Open, Randy Johnson, Aaron Hill, Jim McMahon, Emmett Smith, Bruce Arians, Patrick Peterson, Richard Dent, they're all out on the course. We'll have plenty of content up as the day goes by, as well on sports360az.com, sports360az.com. That's our site where we have content in the next couple of days. We'll have that as well. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So I drove the Ford Fusion up here this morning, as I do. That's the vehicle that I'm in. If you're wondering, does he really drive a Ford? Yeah, I drive a Ford Fusion. Yeah, it's from Santan Ford. Sometimes people are a little skeptical. Like, they see the car. Oh, that is a cool car. Oh, hey, you do fit in it. Yeah. And this morning, trying to get through traffic in downtown Phoenix up to here, at the Waste Management Open could be something that would drive me a little bit nuts, but I'm able to get work done. I'm able to cruise around and listen on the radio, listen on satellite, make some phone calls, have my work done, have everything in order, and be able to get up here and to do our show in the right way, in comfort, luxury, and style, in the 2014 Ford Fusion from Santan Ford. How about you? Can you say that with as much confidence? Stop on in for yourself. General Manager Tim Hovick and Company, they do it upright. That's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. That is Santan Ford. Tonight also we have Kevin Durant and LeBron James that will be going at it. Looking forward to that. In terms of Super Bowl, Kurt Warner was with me yesterday. Kurt Warner on what advice he would give to the quarterbacks about playing in the wind. The wind continues to be a topic of discussion. Is the wind going to wreak havoc on Sunday? Here's Kurt Warner.
The biggest key is you try to just stay in your game. You try not to let those kinds of things affect you too much. Now, you know, you have to gauge it, and you have to understand, okay, when I'm thrown into the wind, I got to keep that nose down, and I got to try to fight it through the wind. Probably have to throw it a little bit harder. But I think for the most part, it's so easy to allow weather conditions to get into your mental framework and start to affect you.
Well, Seattle's inexperienced. Remember, Seahawks don't have any players that have ever been in a Super Bowl. Kurt Warner, when I asked him about Seattle's inexperience, will that hurt them on Sunday?
I don't think it means a whole lot. I think the biggest thing for me is always the week leading up to the Super Bowl, and not just the game itself, is that being able to handle what is the Super Bowl and the festivities that go with it and the media coverage and, you know, all the focus that's on you, that I think sometimes it's easy to get caught up with all of that stuff.
Here is Peyton Manning. His legacy has yet to be written. Peyton Manning this week.
I'm down the home stretch of my career, but I'm still in it. It's not over yet, and so it's still playing out. And this has been the second chapter of my career, and it's an exciting chapter. And I'm certainly excited to be back in the Super Bowl, you know, on behalf of the Denver Broncos.
It's Peyton Manning there. So much more on the Super Bowl tomorrow and Friday as well from out here at 18. So you can check out our website, sports360az.com, sports360az.com. Plenty of content there around the Arizona sports scene. We're on Twitter as well, @BradSesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, on Facebook, and, of course, on White Mountain Radio. Jared Cohen is out here. He's going to be out on the course chasing some of the players around today. Derek Hall on the other side, all things Diamondbacks. And also, Derek Hall's in charge of the 18th Sandbox. The beach, they call it out here. And we'll talk some Diamondbacks and Randy Johnson and a whole lot more with Derek Hall. He joins me next. I'm Brad Sussmann.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.